Hey everybody, it's Jenny Tooley. How are you today? It is a lovely evening here in Austin, Texas, and you know what? It's ACL time. If you're not familiar with that means that is when, oh my God, I don't know how many people now. It used to be like 60,000 people descended upon Austin to go to the Austin City Limits Music Festival. It's so big now that it spans over two weekends, and it's a lot. You can't miss it. You can also hear it if you live in, or work in certain parts of the city. So I actually just came home from work, and I work right near Zilker Park right now. So I got to hear sound checks tonight, which brought me to thinking about music. So I thought tonight I would tell a more in-depth story about me and singing. So yeah, kittens are definitely playing in the background right now. The laundry basket is on the floor and fair game. So if you hear banging and squeaking, it is just kittens, y'all. Here we go. Boy, I love it that this is uncensored and unedited. Let's try again. Have I told you about the time that somebody told me I was a singer and I realized he was right? Okay. So this story starts for a long time ago and it ends right now. Actually, it's a continuing saga. When I was young, I think I thought I was going to be some kind of rock star. No, that was in the late 70s or 80s. Yeah, I was a weird kid. I loved REM and NXS, so you guys got to think back to like mid to late 80s on that. Post-mod music, oh my God. Yeah, alternative is what it was called, alternative at the time. Now alternative means something, I think, a little different. Anyway, so I was in a band. It was called Phaging Todd. Go look that up. See if you can find the word phaging and the word Todd in the dictionary. I was in this band with two of my friends, and we were in high school. And we wrote music together, and I was the singer in the band. And I don't know how long that lasted, but the way it ended was, we had all gone out to a pawn shop to buy a microphone, and our mic stand was an old lamp stand because, you know, we were totally cool. We basically rubber banded that puppy onto a lamp, like a partial lamp, like a floor lamp, old antique floor lamp. I know we auditioned for, it was either a talent show at school, or I think they may have started doing like a rock band thing. I know we auditioned for it. I don't know that we played in it. But we went and bought this all together, this microphone, at the pawn shop. And then summer happened. And at the end of summer, one of those three people, there was a lot of drama in my band, my three-person band. One of those three people came over, I think to my house even, and said, ask me for the mic, because she had decided that I was no longer going to be in the band, and they needed the mic so that the guy that they had decided was going to be the singer was going to sing. So this like left me devastated. In my head, I had written a story. So we're talking stories here, you guys. Stories in our heads. Boy, they last a long time. I wrote a story about how crappy of a singer I was, da-da-da-da-da. And I was like just crushed. Crushed. And resentful. And jealous and all those things. So years go by. I end up being cast in plays with music. I'm never in a musical. Not a pure musical, because I don't believe I can sing. I don't believe I have the capacity to sing, technically. But I am in plays with music, multiple plays with music. In fact, I'm consistently in plays with music and actually sitting and writing a lot of these songs with other people because the songs, the music part hadn't been written yet. So I am on the stage singing and dancing and doing strip teases and singing, all kinds of fun. But I don't consider in my head that I am a singer. In college, I decided I was going to take a class, and I didn't want to take chorus. This was new at UTD. Like, I wasn't UTD as a first freshman, so everything that UTD is now, was it was not at that time. Like, there was no, there were no young people there. There were, like, all these graduate students, like, techie graduate students. So they brought in a choir, a choral teacher, a voice teacher. And I didn't want to be in the choir, a group class, because I didn't believe I could sing. But she somehow allowed me to be in the solo classes. And it didn't occur to me that that's because I was good at singing. It occurred to me that it was because there weren't a lot of people applying to be in this program. And my experience during that was fascinating. We would try to do blues, blues songs, because that's what I gravitated toward, and Tori Amos songs. So every semester we would work on three songs. And then at the end of the semester, we would perform in front of all the other students that were in our, in other individual voice students. And I remember performing one semester, and she chose me. She pointed at me. She was critiquing another student, and she pointed at me and she said, this other student had like technical proficiency. She says, you know, take a cue from Jenny, because what Jenny does really well is she performs a song. And that means that she covers her technical her technical improficiencies, right? So that's all I heard. Like, I'm hearing you suck as a singer. I performed in like the arts festival at the end of one semester. I did, what did I do? Traviata? El Traviata? Is that right? La moraton rosora pella. Like, yeah, I'm not taking on simple shit, right? I'm taking it all on. So was that La Boheme? I don't even remember. Yeah, anyway. So if you know it, please comment. I sang this, and like half of the lyrics fly out of my brain while I am on stage. And I'm just like, la, 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 la. And I don't stop. And I get through the song. You know, so I always kind of thought of myself as kind of sucky, while at the same time being able to cover my suck, right? It didn't matter to me either that the pianist that worked with us invited me to go down to the library bar at the Melrose and sing with him on nights that he did blues standards. La, 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 la. Hello, wake up. No, none of that. I'm thinking, I can't own it for myself, right? I cannot own this. I am thinking, oh, I still have this thought. Oh, well, I would have probably gotten down there and he wouldn't have, he wouldn't have brought me up on the stage to sing. Boy, God, what kind of opportunity did I miss out on? Blah. Anyway, so, then my friend Bruce, who did the music, the score on, Stuck, who I've known since I was 19, he even was like, you know, we should do this. We should do an album together, and I think you could do something like a Portishead kind of sound. And I'm thinking, oh, it's because I can't sing. He's telling me I should be doing like, you know, the Portishead thing that's really not a technically proficient thing. Well, I never followed through on that either. All right, so that's my 20s. I'm now moving to New York in my mid to late 20s, and I have married what? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, an actor who is also in a band and is a singer in a band. Dun, 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 dun. So the next 10 years was really about me handing over my power to him. and we listened to his music. He was the musical guru in our house, and every singing aspiration I had just got shoved down and down and down and down until I didn't even sing for myself. I would do yogic chants because that was part of my yogic teacher training. In my school, we learned a series of chanting, yogic chants, as part of what we would do in our classes. That was the only thing I was doing. When my friend's baby, Sean and Charmian's baby, was born, I would sing to him. I sang to him when he was in her belly, and I'd sing the same song to him when he came out to calm him down. And it was a chant. It was a yogic chant. Again, a yogic chant. So it had a purpose and a reason and all that stuff behind it. So, you know, 10 years goes by. I get divorced. I come to Austin. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, what do? I get in a relationship with a full-blown musician in a band. Yes, they opened ACL years ago. I got to go to ACL for free because his band, Nello, was playing there. Nello, also a band from Stuck. Yes, yay. Stephen wrote the songs with me for Franny. So there you go. So I would go to all his gigs, and he was the musician in the house again. Now, what was interesting is things started to shift for me. I would sometimes sing to him while we were going to sleep, and he really liked that. So I started to be able to feel like comfortable again singing, and to have somebody who was such a proficient musician ask me to sing was like really awesome. So then we would also kind of sit sometimes, and like if he was working on something where he needed to do Christmas carols, he would pull out the guitar and he'd be working through Christmas carols, and like I would sing the lyrics with him, so to get him prepared for gigs where they were doing things like that. So at this point, I decided I was going to play Franny in the movie Stuck, which is my first feature film. Wait. We have skipped a whole very important thing. In between here, while I hadn't even started singing lullabies yet. This was when I was still living in Austin. So, I had gotten divorced, and I'd come to Austin, and I got booked on Richard Linklater's Boyhood. And if you're not familiar with that movie, go find it. It is a beautiful, amazing film. Such a privilege and honor to be part of it. Well, part of Boyhood was that some of it was scripted and a whole bunch of it wasn't. So one day on the set, Ethan Hawke, who was my husband in the movie, pulls out his guitar and he says, "Let's sing a song." And I went, "Hawa?" And like my stomach started clenching, my heart stopped, and I was like, "Okay, great. That sounds great. Let's do that." My voice got really high. You know, Richard's like, yeah, let's do it. So I went and sat in the honey wagon with Ethan, and he taught me this song that he had written. And I recorded it on my phone, went home that night, and just played it over and over and over and over and over again, and sang it over and over and over and over and over again. I was mortified. And the next day we got to the set and sat down, and we started to shoot this scene, and I just had to put every bit of myself aside at that moment and just be there. And the kids, if you know that scene, it's a family singing a song together. The kids didn't really know the song. We had to teach them the song as we were shooting. That wasn't part of the scene. The kids were supposed to know the song in the scene. So it was really, you know, important that Ethan and I knew the song inside and out. And there was a point at which he kind of fumbled a little bit And I just kept going. And he actually thanked me later for, carrying it through. Because he's a really nice guy. He's a great actor, very professional, and a wonderful person to work with. Thank you. So we got done with that. And I'm just thinking, thank God we're done with that. And Richard says to me, oh, yeah, thanks. We were just that he said something. I could not accept the compliment he was offering me. I'm sure I came off as like being really shut down and like just wanting to get out of there because of all the crap that had been built into my head about my insecurities and my inability to sing. I actually had to make a phone call afterwards to a friend who I knew could support me because I was just so unsteady about it. So I was getting this wonderful compliment from this amazing director and like just shutting down. Ugh, right? Okay, now I'll fast forward. Singing lullabies, singing Christmas songs. We're going to fast forward to Franny, who I agreed with myself that I would play in my movie. Thank you, Jenny, for offering me that role. It was a really great role. I got to work with a great director on that movie. Franny, I knew I was going to need to sing these songs. I hadn't even written them yet. They were not written out in the script, lyrically or musically. And I built those songs singing in the bathtub. And there's like a full description of this on my Patreon page, which is going to soon be on my blog, on my membership site. So my members can see, the 2-year journey of writing these songs. So I won't go into that now. But basically, I sang them in the bathtub. Stephen and I worked on them together. He took them off and, made them even better. Did the instrumentals and everything on them. And then I had to go in and sing them. Dude, that was really scary for me. I still had this belief that I could not sing. And it was made even more difficult because when we got in the studio, all that nice, comfy stuff we did at home was gone. He's a very exacting musician, and he is very much in the line of perfection. And I don't have the technical proficiency to deliver perfection. So it was frustrating for both of us, really. And I felt pretty shut down because I just didn't feel like I was delivering what I wanted to deliver or what he wanted to hear. And I walked away from doing the rough vocals just feeling disappointed with myself. But I did it. So basically, we ended up taking the songs that he and I had put together and moving them out of his studio and moving them into Bruce's studio so that Bruce was going to finish these songs. And it was a year later, I think, that I went back in to record these songs. A lot had happened in my life. And I walked in and I was honest with Bruce. I was like, man, I'm nervous. And he's like, why are you nervous? We've known each other for whatever, almost 30 years now. And I was like, I just had this experience last time and I'm really insecure about my voice. And he's like, oh, Jenny, don't worry. There's nothing but love here. Nothing but love. And we redid some of those tracks and tried a few different things. And Bruce is also an excellent musician and very exacting. And sorry, there's a kitten now swallowing things that the kitten should not be swallowing. Okay. So he is very, very exacting as well. And I could tell that he would have loved it if I had could have performed a little different. He actually got a vocal coach on the phone so that we could talk through how to sing a certain word that was challenging. You know, we got it done. And I walked away from that, and I still felt weird. Okay, so now, you know, I've laid down two original songs that I have written. I've worked with the musicians on, I produced them, and I sang them. Fast forward another little bit of time. People are commenting to me. My dad hears Shade of Blue, and he says to me, "I didn't know you could sing." And I was like, yeah. The lovely Jen Kenzer walks up to me after the preview screening of Stuck, and it's like, "Oh my God, I love that song that you, I didn't know you could sing." And I'm like, "Oh yeah." Still not able to own this, right? All I wanted to be is a rock star, and I can't even own these two songs that I performed. So I'm standing at the premiere of Stuck. A day before the premiere at the festival, I am standing with another producer who has produced movies that I really love. I was just so gifted to meet him. And we're all chatting, and I don't know how it came up, but it came up, and he had seen the movie, and he says, "Oh, well, you're a singer, aren't you?" And I was like, "Oh, yes, I am." And then I proceeded to tell him this entire story that I just told you, pretty much. Two people's eyes were glazing over. He was pretty connected with it, but it took somebody I had pretty much just met to like readjust my perspective and get my reality going. And I still hadn't really absorbed it until I also realized I have two songs on BMI, which is the Performing Rights Organization, which is amazing. And we just released the songs to sell on my website. And I emailed everybody to let them know that those were available. Somebody immediately bought them. Now it's only been one person so far, but y'all, like, I just sold two of my songs. So why am I still sitting here thinking that I'm not a singer? It has to do with perfection. It's all about perfection and like holding myself to a very specific idea and definition of what something is supposed to be. Plus, it's I only have two songs. I'm not a musician. That's become very clear to me. I don't live and breathe music. These are all things we're supposed to do if we're going to be, you know, singers or musicians or whatever you want to call it, rock stars, I don't know. Rock stars, they don't have to know all that stuff, so why do I think I have to? Anyway, so that has been really in my face right now and very clear to me, a very clear example of how I do not own who I am and what I have accomplished in my life. It is just like jello slipping through my fingers, and I feel sad about that, but I'm also incredibly happy because I've become aware of this, and I know now I just need to sit in acceptance of it, and then I can take an action that'll help me change this thing about whatever this is that doesn't allow me to own my talents and skills and who I am and all the freaking things I've accomplished in my life. So, anyway, that is the story about how I learned from somebody else that I am a singer. All right, you guys, love you.